We are, for those that are joining us for the very first time, we're finishing off a 4-week series on this theme, anxious for nothing. Anxious for nothing. And whilst you could easily be confused as to why we're not going with Palm Sunday today, I actually want to challenge and say we really are. And it would be easy to use the passages from Luke or from Matthew talking about the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, but I want to take a different look at this passage this morning. So we're going to read together. The scripture reading this morning is taken from Philippians 4, verses 4 through to 7. Philippians 4, verses 4 through to 7. And then later in the message, we'll look in Acts. So for those of us that want to be ahead of the game and you've got your Bible in front of you, you might want to get your finger and put it into the book of Acts so that you can find it quickly later on. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. How does the peace of God work? Before we get moving, I want to just start like we would normally start. Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you in worship. And I wonder this morning, how does the peace of God work when you're in the midst of jail? You see, Paul was stuck in jail when he writes to the Philippians. And he says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is the thing that we are going to be receiving. That will be our gift to us. How can he have a peace of mind when he is in jail? How can he have a peace of mind when he is at the point of possible execution? A peace of mind? How does that happen when his mind is racing? When he is overwhelmed? When there's a level of uncertainty and pressure and fear? The biggest form of issues that he would be facing, I imagine, is about having anxiety or an anxiety fear. What does that even look like? The possibility of making the wrong decision. It would have been easy. It would have been really easy for Paul to just give up when he's in jail, when he just can't decide, he doesn't want to make the wrong decision, so instead of making the wrong decision, he doesn't make any decision at all. I once thought that I was indecisive, so the story goes, but now I can't decide. And it's a bit of a dad joke, and it's always great to have a dad joke on a Sunday morning. And for each of us, I'm sure there are times where we feel crippled by making the wrong decision. What happens if we make the wrong decision? What happens if Jesus makes the wrong decision and doesn't follow what God has asked him to do, including fulfilling prophecy like from Zechariah 9:9, where it says that he will come, the king will come in glory and ride on a foal of a donkey. And then you turn to earlier in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi and you read probably my favorite passage in this book, and that is from Philippians 2, where he talks about the fact that Jesus was obedient even to death on a cross. You see, this morning we start this journey together not as a journey of just another Sunday that gets ticked off, but we are beginning this journey of Holy Week. And in the midst of this Holy Week, we need to understand the pressures that come with this morning, we cry, Hosanna, Lord, save us. And yet in 5 days, the people in that first century context that Jesus was in Jerusalem, will go from singing, Lord, save us, to crucify him. Crucify him. How do we get from one to the other? And I'm sure that there were moments in time where they felt that they were making the wrong decision. The reality is, in the world in which we live, in a normal set of circumstances, we have a myriad of choices. We don't have many choices at the moment, particularly when we go to the grocery store. We have one choice usually, and it's usually just one thing that we can engage with. One thing that we can buy. There's usually a myriad of choices on the shelves, isn't there? But at the moment, how many is there? Usually one, if not none. I've read articles online this week which suggest that children make about 3,000 decisions a day. Adults make about 35,000 decisions a day. I think there are times where we get trapped by making the wrong decision. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I was sharing with him that before we can make decisions about what we should or shouldn't do, we need to be really honest about our reality and where we actually are. You see, if we were to use a GPS to give us directions from one place to another, we're never going to get the right directions if we say that we aren't honest about where we're actually starting from. If we were traveling from Fassfern Valley to Brisbane, but we think to ourselves, oh, we are in Toowoomba, and we say we want the GPS directions from Toowoomba to Brisbane, then we are not going to get the right or accurate directions to actually reach our destination. What did Jesus do in that? Is that he emptied himself of everything that was God and gave obedience to what God had asked him to do, including riding into Jerusalem. You see, he rode into Jerusalem knowing what was coming. He knew where the destination was going to be. He knew where he was going to end up. And he continued to keep his focus on what God had asked him to do. I think sometimes we complicate the decisions that we make. We complicate this, and it actually hinders us from being able to experience the anxious for nothing that we've been talking about these last few weeks. In Acts chapter 15, we read in there about the leaders of the church and how they were dealing with complicated issues, whether they should eat certain things, whether they should be circumcised or not circumcised in order to be saved. If they ate certain foods, then that would mean that they were saved or unsaved, and then the challenges around being clean and unclean. In Acts chapter 15, verse 22, it says these words, "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. It seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials." I think sometimes we overthink things and we just have to do what seems right at the time. We have to make the next right decision. How many times have we been using a GPS and we've gone sailing past what was supposed to be our exit or the next turn, and we hear that magic term, recalculating, recalculating? You see, there is no wrong turn in this space. We just need to recalculate and recalibrate ourselves onto the destination, and that is the destination that is found in Christ Jesus. We need to keep our focus on him. There is so much in our world at the moment that can be distracting us from being in a relationship with Jesus. There is so much that can be distracting us from keeping our eyes on the prize. If we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, we will not. We will not experience this grace that we find in this in the Holy Week from Palm Sunday through to Easter Sunday. We will miss it entirely because we're being distracted by everything around us. I read once that if you are around the wrong people, listening to the wrong voices, living for the wrong values, what seems right will often be wrong. We've all heard stories about when people have got into the wrong crowd, haven't we? We've all heard stories about that. We need to make sure that we are keeping our focus and our attention on our destination. Our destination is on a relationship with Jesus and giving that hope to those around us. We need to not complicate our lives with all the other distractions that are around us. We shared in the first week that if it's big enough to worry about, then it's big enough to pray about. We also shared in there that anxiety or being anxious about something is a signal for us to pray. It's a signal for us to pray. We don't always have the power in a situation, but we do have the power to surrender to God, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Because of who God is, we can have a perspective of praise. We can have a posture of praise. With a posture of prayer and a perspective of praise, we will seek God and do what seems right. Whenever we are feeling like we're caught up in there is a number of right decisions to make or what's the best decision for me and my family, well, it'd be quite easy for us to be distracted by what if we make the wrong decision? Well, let's just keep our eyes on Jesus, keep our focus on Him this morning as we join together with those first century followers of Jesus who yelled, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, save us." You see, friends, they didn't go and get anything special to bring praises to God. They grabbed what was nearest to them. Now, I'm not going to do that this morning because I would lose friends fairly quickly with the greenery that's behind me. But they just grabbed the closest palm branches. They grabbed what was close by, and they used what they had in their hands to bring praise to God. They used what they had in front of them. Some laid down their cloaks on the ground. They took off their outer garment and placed it on the ground. They used what was in front of them to bring praise to God. Each and every one of us has an opportunity to use our hands and the gifts that He has given us to bring praise to God, to be part of the bringing of heaven to earth. What does Romans 8:28 tell us? Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that in all things God works together for good those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. If we make a wrong turn, if we are in the middle of silence, God is still working. Neil shared with us that song this morning that said that God was still working. In the silence, I choose to believe. It wasn't a mistake for us to choose that song this morning. It was on purpose, and there was a real purpose behind choosing that song. One wrong turn does not give us an opportunity to be completely off track, but it gives us an opportunity to recalibrate and recalculate and refocus our lives back onto the way that God has for us. It's a way of obedience and a way of holiness. And if we are to follow in God's footsteps, in Jesus' footsteps this morning, as He rode into Jerusalem following God's plan and God's purpose for His life, He chose obedience when He could have easily chosen a different route. He chose obedience and emptied Himself of everything that He thought was important, everything that made Him God, and showed obedience to death, even death on a cross. Let's not complicate it this morning. We need to remember that when we struggle to decide, we have a posture of praise, we have a perspective of praise and a posture of prayer, and where we can join together. And as I shared last week, we can look past the bars and see the stars, or we can just see ourselves in the four walls of the jail cell, just like Paul had. This morning, I want to encourage you, friends. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Neil is going to come and share with us a song in just a little while, and it says in there, "You're here. You're here moving in our midst. You're here working in this place. In our lives, in the time that we are in the midst of isolation, we could feel awfully alone. But we are using this song this morning that Neil's going to share with us. And it's a song of faith, a faith message for us this morning. That he is a way maker, a miracle worker, promise keeper. Are they the things that you see as being a faith statement this morning, that he is a way maker in your life? He's a light in the darkness. This is who you are, God. And we want to celebrate that this morning. You're here touching every heart, the words go on to say, healing every heart. Jesus didn't come just to die on the cross, but to set us free from the power of sin and death, to give us a life that is in abundance, not to steal, kill, and destroy as the enemy came. And so as we journey together and hear this song, and we struggle maybe to know what is the next best decision to make, let us live in the reality that we are all sinners, as Scripture tells us. We're all sinners and have fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need God's grace. And his grace still amazes us. It still gives us an opportunity to be able to sing those words together. You're a healer of hearts. You're working in the waiting, in the silence, which is maybe what we've been feeling. In the silence we choose to believe. Maybe it's been opportunities that we've been involved in that there's been a darkness that's come over our lives, my prayer, friends, that in this Holy Week and going forward, that he would be the light, the flicker of hope that you need to be able to experience his amazing grace that would save a wretch like me and like you, that we were once lost, now found, blind, and now we see. We're going to invite Neil to come and share this song called Waymaker with us before I come back and share a benediction and a blessing with you each. God bless you, friends.